So it's a great privilege and honor to have Alan and Alice with us. As you know, they've been Elim ministers. Alan's an Elim minister, has been ministering for many, many years in Kent. Not too many, many years, but a few. And God called him, and I'm sure he's going to tell his story, but God called them to Estonia and to minister there, and we're really excited to hear what God is doing in and through you both. We as a church have decided, led by the Holy Spirit, to support them in prayer and in finances as well. And so it's really great to see someone in the flesh that we're praying for, isn't it? And it helps us in our prayers as well. And so let's welcome both of them up to come and minister to us today.
Well, good evening, everyone. Before we actually start with what we're going to be talking about, I did just sense that I had the shortest prophetic word I think I've ever had. And the words are quite simple for this church, and the words are, it's easy. And that on its own won't make much sense, perhaps. And what I sensed, what I felt in the spirit being here for the first time, was that obviously it's a season of change for this church. Every church goes through its ups and its downs, and its hard times, its battles, and all those things, and that's kind of normal. We have good times as well, and celebration and growth and wonderful things happening in church. But obviously it's been a big change. Dave and Maureen have been here for how many decades? Many decades. You know, and so... when there's a change of senior leader, what do you think is going to happen? Things aren't going to be the way that they used to be. And what I sensed was there was, what Jesus was asking of you is that there's some tension. And the words, it's easy, there was a line in the song, "No work too hard for him," that we've just sung. Yeah. And we all believe that there's no work that's too hard for Jesus. Our job is easy, his job is easy, but the way that we do it is that we all need to die to our own agendas, our own self. Amen. And in this time to build, in this time of change, to allow him to create what he desires of his church here. And I believe he will do that, and the future with Jesus is always exciting. Amen. It's always bright. There's always good stuff with Jesus. Amen? Amen? And so I just want to speak those words again. It's easy.
Thank you.
But you'll need to get out the way.
Yeah, yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So lovingly, let him lead. Let him take you where he's going to take you. And you know what? I recommend you just grab onto his coattails, and wherever he leads this church, or whatever he brings,
yeah,
you just grab hold of him. Because for him, it really is easy.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, short prophetic word there. Okay, so I'm Alan, and I'm from England. And this is Alice, and she's from Estonia. You get a round of applause. Did you like the Estonia flags and things around? Now, as Lloyd said, I was pastoring, and God called us out of the church we were in Broadstairs in Kent. And we honestly thought we'd go to another church in the UK, but God seemed to just open doors for us in Estonia. During COVID, Alice and I had done the Elim Missions Academy training, which is something separate if you want to be a missionary versus being a minister, so it's some additional training. So we went through that, and we said that actually this might be helpful in the future, and let's just do it whilst COVID was on. And we did, And we said that if God is ever going to send us anywhere, we need to hear where it's going to be. Whether it's, you know, Afghanistan or wherever. It didn't have to be England or Estonia. And so, but God opened doors up, and short story is we left the church end of September last year and moved out to Estonia in October. So we've been on the field for about 9 months. And so Alice is going to tell us a little bit about Estonia, and then we'll carry on from there.
Do you want to ask for the pictures?
Yes, for the picture, please. Flag, perhaps? Oh, no. Okay, anyway, yes, very happy to be here. So great to see Leon C. people. You will hear later why. I love you guys. But anyway, this is my personal message. But yes, Estonia, a little country, as you can see from the map on the Baltic Sea. Opposite us is Finland. East from us is Russia. Latvia from the south, and it is a special country in many ways. It has a lot of woods. Half of the country is covered with forests. We still have real animals there, which you don't have. I've seen many foxes in our areas, but we don't want to see foxes in our homes or in your area somehow weirdly. But really, wolves and bears and deers and whoever you can imagine, we still have them. Also, Estonians pick their berries from the forest themselves. My friend just showed me the picture. She was in the forest and she has those big, big cans, you know, 20 liters altogether, blackberries. Oh, they're tasty. And cranberries you can pick, and cloudberries if you know what cloudberry is. But yes, stunning. We have a lot of wetlands and incredible plants. So I really love my country, as you can see. Also, Estonians are sauna loving people.
Yeah.
Who loves sauna?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, few of you. Fantastic. I'm glad to see that. And we can't imagine our life without a sauna. And interestingly, David Beckham, your famous football player, he ordered sauna from Estonia, you know, igloo type of sauna. So you can Google from the internet. They're high quality, they're well done in Estonia. There's a lot of good craftsmen there who know what they're doing. Also, what is else interesting? Oh, we're tech people, Skype-wise. Many startups has developed from Estonia, and imagine our nation is only 1.3 people. Yes, sorry, million. You and me and somebody else. Yes, just the little zeros, but we have a saying that zero is not a number. So, yes, and interestingly, like Estonian youth is also very wise. There has been tests that we call them, actually not we, but all over the world they're called like PISA tests, and they measure youth like 15 year old, and it appears that the smartest youth is actually in a few countries in Asia, but number one country in Europe is Estonia. So they say that this is our fancy education system. I don't know really what's fancy in it, but anyway, so we have many good things to be happy about, but also many things that we're not very happy about. For example, our social system, if you lose your job or if something is not very successful in your life, your business collapses, and then you need to know that nobody's gonna come and help you, really. You need to figure it out yourself, you need to go to work, you need to find the ways yourself, because this is how just life is there. So you have to be hardworking, you have to figure things out in your head. And yes, and the second thing, really tragic thing, is Estonia is a very atheistic country. So faith-wise, unfortunately, 57% of Estonians really don't believe that God exists, and they believe that, oh, my hand is strong enough, good enough, I can achieve everything myself, I do not need God. So that's, I think we are needed there also, and I'm so happy to be as a missionary in Estonia, because, you know, I have the language skill and the contacts. Alan has a lot of wisdom, experience, incredible admin skills and Excel stuff, you know, what he can do really well. And that's the thing why we progress also quicker than maybe some other missionaries, because we can really do things so much quicker. And the times are very, very anxious today in Estonia, because you all know the war danger, and we've been independent, yes, from 1991, we came out of the Soviet regime, and actually the most pessimistic opinions, quite high level, government level, say that the war will come, it's just a question of when. So we really need to know what we're doing as missionaries. It's not much time. We don't know when this time ends, you know, the freedom, when, I don't know, Russia, when the war begins or something like that. So we need to be really, really wise and strategic in this matter. But what we have done since...
Yeah. One thing that's important, I think, to add to what Alice has said is that whilst 57% of the country is atheist, there's only half of 1% that are Christian. Okay? The rest is made up of a hodgepodge of witchcraft, occult, and any way that they can reach out to the universe and all kinds of stuff like that. So actually... there's a lot of that stuff that goes on. So we really need to take the gospel to this nation. And one of the ways we've been doing that, as a pastor, I found that the best tools for growing disciples in your church is short-term mission trips. And also we use the Freedom in Christ course. Incredible course. I don't know if this church has ever used it, but it really is helpful, and it goes across denomination. And so Alice translated that whole course into Estonian. And so we now run Freedom in Christ Ministries in Estonia across all denominations, trying to help strengthen the church, because it needs to be strong, you know, when there's so few of them in this big battle. So that's one thing that Alice has done, and that's going well. We've started to get that up and running. We've got an online course starting in September for that. But another area that God is using us in is for, we think it's going to be around international mission. So we have a missions conference coming up in September for all the Pentecostal churches and their leaders to come together to start a conversation around how they do international mission. Because at the moment they don't have that. A few people gather each year, maybe half a dozen people, and with a contact they go to Georgia. So there's a little contact there. There's no central missions department. You know, Elim, we have 500 churches, and we have 60 or so missionaries placed around the world, which is fantastic. But they don't have that, so we're going to try and bring something in to help them to create mission themselves, because there's so much to benefit by going on mission. And so rather than just receiving teams in, we want to send them to other places, maybe even here, which would be super. So we want it to be build up a partnership with Elim and the Pentecostal churches there, and have teams flowing backwards and forwards. And this is a great place where they could come and actually send mission teams to you here. So that's our longer term goal and vision around that.
Yes, just to add to you, yes, about evangelism.
Oh, let's do the video.
Oh yes, about the missions. Yes.
We have a little. Group who came to Estonia a couple of weeks ago. Our first mission team from the UK came, and we hosted them in Estonia for 10 days. The youngest in the team was 16 years old. The oldest in the team was 75 years old. So you've got no excuses. I'm sure you're all somewhere between those ages. But we want to show you what it's like to do a short-term mission. Let's play the video. So that's the kind of things that you can get up to on mission, with working in a care home, street evangelism, worship, waving flags. And you know what? I've never been a massive fan, personally, of flags and banner waving. And you know what? I was so pleased that they came and that the team used them. Because it made a spiritual difference. You know, and yeah, so anyway, you can come and you can wave flags if you want to. That's not a problem. There's just so many things. In every picture, in every face, there was a story behind it. You know, the team that came brought four people who were believers in recovery. People who had suffered and struggled with addictions to alcohol and to drugs. And got to the lowest of the low places in life. And yet they found Christ. And in that, they came as part of the team. And you know, everyone was changed by going on the trip. And if, you know, some of the guys are here tonight. So we're just, you know, delighted to see you. And if you want to know more, talk to them as well. You can talk to us. But ask some of those guys, what was it like? What was the best part for you? You know, the guy there who was playing a guitar, he was also an alcoholic who had been on the streets, and we were doing street evangelism, and because we were playing a guitar and waving some flags, he saw us, noticed we were playing a guitar, he loves guitar, and that was him in church the next day. You know, so behind every picture is a story. So we just want to encourage you with that. Did you want to say anything else?
Just a little bit about the evangelism. Yes, he's telling me I have to be quick. All of those pastors, they just can't wait until they can start preaching. But evangelism is really, really important. And this is something that is deeply in my heart. And every leader in Estonia, Christian leader in our Pentecostal circle, really experienced that something special is happening. And we need to start coming out from our churches, our comfortable places, you know, and really just start sharing the good news, because people outside, they need it. And we just think that, oh, if revival comes or doesn't come, or will God give when he thinks that, you know, it's a good time. But every revival is a cooperation between God and the people. Yes, God stirs up something in a person, and then we pray, we start sharing, started coming together, and really, I really experienced this burden in my heart very deeply. And I've also been asked in my area in Pärnu to start taking people to the streets. And now we've done it a few weeks, and I see, to my great joy, that people are getting more and more open to that. It is a scary thing. It's a scary thing for everybody. I think it's the same here, it's the same in Estonia, because you don't know what to expect. You don't know, you can't really know if you're going to be, I don't know, punched, or somebody says thank you. We do not know those things. So it's a risk. But it's a risk that we need to take. And Estonia has encountered real revival in 1970 to 1980, roughly. And it went all over the Soviet Union. So we know actually what to expect. It has happened in St. Olavista Church in Tallinn. Its whole book, John has the book, you can ask from him. About it. So really, there are many things happening, and I really feel that we are in the right place and on these really important times, and all there is in our hearts is to do really what God is asking us to do.
So Dave, I think, is going to speak at the end, and they're going to pray for us and talk about how you can support us. One simple way is
through some books that I've written. My favourite subject is the kingdom of heaven. Every kingdom, including that kingdom of heaven, has four key components. And every kingdom has a territory, it has citizens, has laws, and it has a king. So I'm writing a four-book series. These two are out and available. You can get those from us. And this one is being published next month. And then the fourth book I'll work on, that will come a couple of years away, I think. So just to let you know about those as well. If you would like to get hold of one of those, then you can do online. But it's easier if you get it from us, and Alice can help you with that at the end. Okay, I think that's enough stuff. Now it's time for the word. Amen? Are we ready? Yes. Are you ready? Are you excited about Estonia?
Yes.
Being part of our journey? We want you to be ready to be part of it. We want you to all connect through us, but actually by going. And I'm sure there'll be ways you can do that through your church congregations here. Even if only a few people want to go, it's still a mission. And you can even join together with other churches, local churches, and form a bigger team if you want to. There's all kinds of ways, and we are excited about this. Okay, so I'm going to start as I did this morning. We all know, don't we, about Amazing Grace. Yeah? And we all love the song, don't we?
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Talking about Amazing Grace today, we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about amazing faith. Amazing faith. And yes, somebody needs to write a song about amazing faith. Now, in the New Testament, there's a little word called amazed, and that same Greek word is found 44 times throughout the New Testament. And it's people, 42 of those are people walking along with Jesus, the disciples, and it's like, wow, I've just seen him heal somebody. And it's like, wow, somebody just walked on water, and wow, and wow, and wow. And you think of all the incredible ministry, and could you imagine being one of those first disciples and walking along and thinking, my goodness, I'm glad I gave up my fishing job. And I'm walking with this guy, but every corner we turn around, wow, let's feed 5,000 people today. You know, it was just this incredible thing, and we are amazed so much by Jesus, and I hope you're still amazed by him today. Amen? Of course we are. But there's two occasions in the New Testament where Jesus is the one who is amazed. Two occasions. One is positive, one is more negative, but there's lessons to learn in both of those situations. This morning we looked, in Rayleigh, we looked at the first of those, which was the Roman centurion. And in short, what that did, it allowed Jesus to take his ministry to a new level because he saw faith at a new level. He saw faith from someone who wasn't expected to believe in him or trust him, but because he knew how authority worked and he knew who Jesus was and understood that in the spiritual realm, what Jesus could do, Jesus was able to heal from a distance rather than just laying his hands on all the time. So Jesus was amazed at his faith, and he wasn't part of the covenant of God. He wasn't of the nation of Israel. He was their oppressor. So in some ways he was an enemy. But because he understood authority, Jesus is wowed at what he understands that Israel had failed to understand. And all the disciples that were getting wowed all the time, Jesus is now wowed himself. On the second occasion, which is what we're going to look at today, where we see Jesus is wowed, is actually because of disbelief when there should have been belief. Okay? And we're going to look at... Let's turn to... Okay, I'll come to that in a moment. So, amazing faith. Have you had to put your faith in God for things, and sometimes you see results, maybe other times you don't, and sometimes we wonder what on earth is going on? And sometimes it's hard to have amazing faith, isn't it? Let's be real. It's not always easy. I can remember once in my life God challenged me, and it was actually to do with giving. And he was challenging me to increase my tithe from net earnings to gross earnings. Now, you know, that can be quite a substantial difference. And I thought, and I just knew God had told me to do it. And I'm like, God, I can't afford to do it. You can, you know, I had a young family and just couldn't afford to do it. So what was I going to do? Had to be obedient. I had to put my faith in action and say, okay, God, I trust you. My faith is in you. I don't know the outcomes, but I'm trusting in you and I will be obedient. And that still applies today, even though whether I'm a pastor, an Ealing minister, but God has asked me to go to Estonia for a season. And I don't know how long that is going to be for, what it's going to look like. Is it the rest of my life? I don't know. But I'm going, I still have to be obedient. And no matter how long you've been a Christian, we've got to still be obedient. And that obedience does show, enable us to have put in practice an amazing faith. So I did that, and within a few months, just out of the blue, I'll get called into the office one day, you've got a pay rise. And it was the exact amount between what I was giving before and it's little things sometimes. Now that may not be the best story in the world. Maybe you've got better stories than that. But it's just, all I'm trying to say is you have to exercise your faith. You don't always see the answers immediately, but it's a question of being obedient in what he's asking you to do. That is exercising amazing faith. And we will see answers if we're obedient to what he asks us to do. So Jesus is, what we're looking at is the unbelief of the Nazarenes. So the town of Nazareth, it was Jesus' hometown. You know, he came from Nazareth, didn't he? That's where he grew up. You know, he's born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth. And Nazareth was part of Israel. It was under the covenant of God, nation of Israel, under God's promises and blessings. So this was a place that should have believed. The first time Jesus preached in Nazareth, they drag him out and they attempt to throw him off a cliff. Now, I've preached in a few places, never quite been dragged out. Hopefully tonight won't be the first time. And I hope there's no cliffs around here. I didn't see any on my way, so that's a good sign. But Jesus was forcefully ejected out of this town when he was there speaking for the first time. They didn't like his message and they rejected him. So going back a second time is a little bit kind of crazy, isn't it? Why would you go back where they just slung you out and nearly thrown you off a cliff? There's a real danger to go back. But go back, he does. And so we're going to look now at the story in Mark chapter 6. If you've got your Bibles, Mark chapter 6 verses 1 to 6, or your devices, if you have devices. I don't know if it's going to come up on the screen. No pressure on the media desk. Don't worry about that. I'm going to read it anyway. So if you don't have your Bibles, don't worry. We'll just listen to the story and try and place yourself in it. It's always good when we read the Word of God to try and place yourself in the story itself. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them." He was amazed. Say amazed.
Amazed.
So Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. So in the opposite to the someone that should be an unbelieving opposition member of the Roman occupying, he shows incredible faith and understands Jesus' authority. And here we have his hometown rejecting the Messiah, their Saviour. Immediately after this event in Mark chapter 6, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples on their first mission trip. And they get to see what it's like to be treated without honour. He sends them with the ability to cast out demons, heal the sick. But when they're not welcome, it's just to shake the dust off their feet and move on. So they would have experienced some wonders of ministry on their mission. They would have experienced some wonders, and they would also experience some rejection as well, some difficult times. And I think, you know, the Leon C team and anybody else who's been on mission before will understand and will testify that there were great times. Amazing things happened. Healings. The bishop of the Pentecostal movement was in one small little church plant, and we laid hands on him, and he hit the floor, and he was laughing. Like just a ridiculous joy coming out of this man, slapping the floor for about 10 minutes. And this is a reserved Estonian. Estonians are quite reserved. The British can be reserved, a bit stiff at times, you know, but Estonians are even more reserved. So to see this happening, the work and the power of the Holy Spirit, lots of things happen on mission. There's highs and then there's lows. There's moments when everybody's exhausted and tired and they've still got to get up and now we've got to go and do all the weeding at the care home, and it's hard work, and my back aches, and my knees ache, and everything else aches. Jesus' disciples would have experienced the same thing. So in verse 1 of this story, we see that Jesus enters his own town for a second time, since he's kind of been in ministry, shall we say. So he enters for a second time, but this time is different, because Jesus enters with his disciples. And what that tells us, he's now come back, he is now a rabbi. Before that, he hadn't had disciples come to him, but now he is a rabbi. In verse 2, it says, "When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many heard him, were amazed, and where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's his wisdom and the remarkable miracles he's performing?" Jesus taught in the synagogue. Many were amazed at both his wisdom and the demonstration of the power of the kingdom of heaven. And we know that these two things go hand in hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that the kingdom of heaven is not just a kingdom of words, but it's also a kingdom of power. It's both of those things. And Jesus demonstrates them. We also know here that they bring three questions to Jesus. And you can see them, we've read them. And so perhaps there's some intrigue here. They're questioning him because, you know, there's some intrigue about what he's saying.
But we'll, as we move on in the story into verse 3, we find the answer to what the first three questions were about. Were they intrigued about knowing, you know, what is Jesus teaching today or not? But the next set of questions show that actually what their heart intention really was. And these questions are, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph, and this just ordinary bloke from our village, essentially? We know all the family members. Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offence at him. So, for a second time, Jesus mentioned that they are offended by his words and his actions and his ministry. And these questions show us their heart intent. They're shocked, they're offended. Jesus, just working class man, who do you think he is, coming back into our synagogue now as a supposed rabbi, teaching us all this weird stuff? Who is he? Let's question him, and you know, maybe we'll throw him off a cliff this time. Maybe we'll succeed. Now, that's not in the Bible, don't worry. But I think what I want to pick out from this point is that over-analysing, over-questioning things is something that can lead to a lack of faith. When you don't know the answers, we talk and we question, and sometimes it's just within ourselves, sometimes it's in the whole church situation when we don't know what's going on and we question things and what's happening and this, that and everything else. Over-questioning, over-analysing everything to this minute detail is not helpful to an amazing faith. What it does, it creates a lack of faith in us. So you remember Mary, the one of the so-called virgin birth. She lived in this town for 30 years. The older lot would have known her. Maybe she still had a reputation. Maybe everybody knew who this Mary was. You see, when you get offended, it's also another way in which we push down faith. Maybe that's related to the prophetic word earlier, but when there's tensions and when there's difficulties and we don't know what's going on and our faith levels drop and then we start to get offended about stuff, I think that what we're doing is creating an atmosphere that can reduce faith.
Yeah.
And none of us want that, do we?
Yeah.
We all want to be people of amazing faith, and we can be. Verse 4 says, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honour except in his own town, among his relatives, and even in his own home. See, a prophet was supposed to be an honoured position, held with high regard in the nation of Israel. Prophet, priest and king were the offices within Israel. And so a prophet is supposed to be without honour, but somehow God kept sending prophets to in the Old Testament, prophet after prophet, and they kept wanting to kick them out or kill them or do something with them, get rid of them. And Jesus was much more than a prophet, wasn't he? He was a prophet, but he was also a king and a priest, the king of all kings, the priest of all priests. He is the one. He is the Son of God. So in his hometown, people knew him. They didn't expect that the Saviour would come from their own town. They didn't expect it to be someone in their midst who they knew. How can this carpenter set us free from this Roman occupation? You know, Estonia had been under occupation for 800 years. 800 years. Sweden, then Denmark, then Sweden again for centuries, and then Russia. Can you imagine having a Roman oppressors living
and, you know, in charge of your local town, charge of this nation, oppressing this nation with their laws and their ways. 800 years? You will be a communist, there is no God. The freedom that Estonia now has is ripe for revival. It's white. The fields are white unto harvest. But the labourers are few. We need your help. Do we get so familiar with our ways of doing things? Maybe the way we do church services, maybe the way we set up, maybe the order of things, maybe we have a pattern that we've, you know, it's a good pattern, but actually, we just, it's the way we do things around here. And if we get too familiar with our own surroundings, and this is why mission is great. You know, you get out of your surroundings, you go, get on an aeroplane, you go to some completely different surroundings, and you give it a whole new fresh perspective. And when you come back, the things that you used to do, the things that matter so much on your service and how you do things and how church runs, just ain't that important anymore. You see, if we are so inwardly focused, we can lose the momentum to expect change, to expect the suddenlies of God. In a moment, God can change and do things. And you know, I don't know if you all heard that this that prayer, but Claire, where is she? Is she here somewhere? We prayed for her. We did a demonstration this morning of praying without going to lay on hands from a distance, and we all said as a group, who needs healing? We're going to pray. We're just going to sit here for a moment and we're just going to pray and declare healing. We did what Jesus did. Just up the road today. That's good news, isn't it? The suddenlies of God, the moments when he breaks in, when his power comes and changes everything and the pain has gone. God is good. Let's not miss the suddenly moments of God moving because we're so familiar with the way that we have things around here. Verse 5 says, he came not to do any miracles, sorry, he could not do any miracles here, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. So Mark here is tying together faith and healing. Faith and healing. And so a lack of faith in the Nazarites, what it does, it restricts Jesus to a few basic healings. Now, Jesus was not removed of his power. Okay? He's still God. Still all-powerful. All-knowing. Everywhere present God. He's still all those things. But you see what Jesus does, he responds. Jesus' response and ministry is to the heart of the people. And if he sees there's nothing there and there's contempt and stuff like that, guess what? He might do a few things out of compassion because he's a loving, beautiful God. And he'll do those things. But he will respond, your job, it's easy, remember. You've got to die to self and allow your hearts to be this fertile ground. Soft and ready for God to do something. The Nazarites' hearts had become hard. And they were stubborn and they refused to believe in him. They had no belief in him and his message, but we are to be a people of belief in him and his message. And in the final verse 6 that we looked at in the story,
he's marveled, wondered in the New American Standard Version. NIV uses amazed. But Jesus is amazed because of their unbelief. He's dumbfounded. I can't believe it. The same Greek word is used for the amazement that said, wow, this foreign oppressor army bloke, centurion, he knows how to, my kingdom works, he knows how to enable me to work at this level now. So I will gladly do that. And we learned some lessons from that, but from this story today, we're learning the lessons that unbelief stops amazing faith. Unbelief stops amazing faith. So how's your faith today? How is it? Is it up here? Is it down in the gutter somewhere? Does it go up and down with how we feel? One day we feel great, so faith is up here. Next day we feel terrible and our faith is down there. How do we become this people of amazing faith? Because I want to be the person that sees more of the healing from a distance.
Yes.
You know, and the dead raised and the blind eyes opened. These things that we want Jesus to do, and he's going to respond to our hearts if we're hungry. So what have we learned? We've got to expect to move, see God move in our midst. We've got to expect the heavenly moments, the power of God to come with wisdom, in word and in miracles, power and demonstration. We should see all these things. So what we mustn't do, don't overanalyze stuff. Stop it. I'm good at doing that, I'll be honest. I'm good at overanalyzing things, as I'll tell you. I spent many years being a computer programmer. I'm a very logical thinker. And it's, you know, I used to literally write hundreds of lines, thousands of lines of code. If this, then do that. If that, else this, go here, do that, do this thing, all in a computer program. It's my brain seems to work that way. And sometimes that's good, if I need to be logical. But most of the things with God are completely illogical. They don't make sense. You can't use a formula or a computer program for God. Don't overanalyze and question things, because that will lead to a lack of faith. Don't get offended easily, because that creates a wrong atmosphere to see amazing faith work. If we all come in here and everybody's got their own agenda, and this one's upset with this one, and that one's got a problem with something, and blah, 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 and everybody's... But Jesus is looking at our hearts.
Yeah.
And we have to have the right heart attitude and deal with our offences and learn to not take on offence so easily. Then we create an atmosphere for amazing faith to take place, and that is what we want. Don't become over familiar with things. You're going to be going through a season of change from previous minister of 45 years to whatever the future's going to hold. But it can be exciting. It's not for a time for inward implosion or fighting or battles. It's to lay those things down, even if it's flag waving. I think I offended someone in the front row here earlier. So, but it's easy, isn't it? Sometimes it's so funny, the simple little things that we suddenly take a massive offence over. And we just need to not do that. So we need to be comfortable with change and expect the suddenly moments of God. And then finally, we have to believe. We just have to believe. Faith is believing for what we cannot see. And we have to believe. We've got the Word of God. We've got all the examples that we need. We've got the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of us. And His kingdom is everywhere where we can reach out and grab it. And so we need to be a people of amazing faith. We need to practice it every day. every day. We need to practice it so that we can become that people of amazing faith. And I'm struggling these days. I'll be honest. When I've spoken about the kingdom, when I've spoken on these messages, and it just feels like I can't just give you words. Because that's only half of the equation. You've got to have faith and you've got to put it into practice. You've got to work out your faith with fear and trembling. You have to do something with the faith that we've just heard from the story. What are we going to do with it? We have to action it in some way. And the kingdom is not just words, it's power as well. And we never want to become, as Pentecostal people, we never want to become a church that's just word, 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 and the power's left the building. And so when I've been speaking, I've been just helping in Estonia, preaching in many different churches, and usually around the kingdom. And because it's this dual-natured thing of word and power, we've got to do something. We can't just listen all the time anymore. We've got to do something. We've got to expect something. So what are we going to do right now? Thank you. That's a good one. We'll pray. Honestly, I don't know what I'm doing right now. Sometimes I kind of, God gives me a hint. But what does he want in this moment? This morning, I just sensed it was healing. Let's go for healing. I don't know what it is right now. And I'm being serious, if the Spirit is prompting you with something in this moment, because it's not just about me because I happen to be up here with this microphone on. This is about our amazing faith, and we exercised that this morning and we saw something happen. What are we going to do now? What is he saying to you?
I really sense the Spirit is challenging us as individuals to an act of surrender. That will be different to different people, but the act of faith is very much residing in a willingness to surrender. For some it's surrender of self-interest, for others it's surrender of plans and ideas of how things may or may not be for them. For others, it is surrender of potential possessions. There's a whole sense in which out of surrender, faith comes. That's, again, the difference between the Nazarenes and the centurion. Yeah. The centurion surrendered everything to Jesus, and out of that amazing faith rose. The Nazarenes held everything to themselves, and out of that amazing doubt arose. And I just sense the Spirit is challenging us to say, okay, be prepared to surrender, whatever that may be, for us as individuals.
That's good. Okay, Natalie, you want to say something?
I wasn't going to say anything, but Dave, you just said what you said, and right before you asked what we can do, I heard the words of the song, "This Is Our God," but in particular the line that says, "I will fall at your feet, I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you here." And I think that that's such an act of surrender, just recognizing that God gave his all for us. It says, "Freely you gave your all to us, and I will just fall at your feet and just surrender and worship you."
I wonder. Not too much pressure for the worship team. Do you happen to have Amazing Grace? I don't care. Let's go with the Chains version. Come to you in a second, more. I'd like to just to play this, and as we think about Amazing Grace, you see, when we all came together, what a beautiful sound you all made. What a wonderful choir you were. And it's the same thing we've got to do with Amazing Faith. We've got to come together and exercise it together. And as this is played, and would you like to sing? Lead us, is that all right?
I don't want the whole worship team to go, just two or three, because I want everybody to have a chance, as they said, to surrender.
There's an old saying, faith without works is dead. So we need to put our faith in Christ.
Okay. So with action, yeah?
I just feel let it go.
Okay. Let it go. Action. Surrender. Prayer. Yes. Super. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to just play this song, just take your time over it, and we'll just create a space to allow all of us to surrender. And you can do that sat in your chair. If you want to kneel where you are, kneel if you can. If you want to come and kneel at the front, you know, it's not more holy here than it is where you are. It's a heart thing. But sometimes a response and getting out your seat and coming to the front, it shows God, I'm serious, I mean this. I'm going to get up at my seat. I don't care what anybody else thinks anymore. I'm going to come and I'm going to surrender my life afresh to you, because I want to be a person of amazing faith. I want this to be a church of amazing faith. And we want to see the amazing faith of God in action and in power in this place.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Alan, thank you so much for being here this evening and sharing the heart and sharing from the Word. It's been great as the Word and the Spirit has come together this evening. Thank you very much. You can just stay here, actually, because I'm going to ask Pastor Dean and Pastor Jaduka to come and pray for you both. So, Alice, if you could come out. really great to pray over you. By the way, Pastor Gianluca, for those of you that don't know, is one of our pastors in our hub. He's currently the church leader at East Ham here. And so let's pray. Just reach out your hands. This is not just them praying, this is us as a church praying. And, yeah.
Father, we thank you for Alan and for Alice, for the burden that you've put on their hearts, for people, for those who are currently with us. Lord, I pray that they would know your strength, they would know your guidance, that they would know your leading, that when they face those difficult times, they would know that they are not alone, but that you are with them, and not just with them, but carrying them through. We thank you, Lord, that whatever circumstance they may find themselves in, that you are there, that you are in the midst, and you are working out your plans and your purpose. Lord, we've heard this evening that the fields are ripe for harvest. We pray, Lord, that harvest will come in. It seems such a small number in that country that know you, and yet, Lord, we know that when you move by the power of your Spirit, the entire country will come to know you. So bring a revival, Lord. Revive that land. Remove any baggage from the times of communism. Remove, Lord, the dangerous nature of the occult that is there. Let those who are currently living in darkness step into your marvellous light. I pray, Lord, that you will break chains, that you will use Alan and Alice to help bring true freedom in Christ to that land. And Lord, though they are just the two of them, I thank you, Lord, that with you and by their side, they are invincible. Because you are the God of all. You are omniscient. You are able to do all things. And I thank you that through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of your word, through witness and through testimony, they are going to see people saved to you. Lord, keep them safe. Provide for them, Lord, their every need, not their wants, but their needs. Keep them safe, Lord. Guard their hearts, guard their minds, and physically, Lord, keep them healthy and whole. May they proclaim your truth day after day. And may they ever look to you, knowing that you care for them. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that we're going to hear about what you have done in this land. Praise you, Lord. Amen.
So, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for Alan and Alice. We thank you, Lord, for the vessels, Lord, that they are, Lord, of you, the Estonia. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will use them great and mighty things, Lord, that you have in store for that, for this nation, Lord. Lord, may they be malleable, Lord, to your hands, Lord. Let them be like clay, Lord, to you, Lord, under the potter's hand. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue blazing within them, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that even as they leave, Lord, this place, Lord, that they will be filled, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we're talking about healing, we're talking about manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they will be a powerhouse, Lord, within your kingdom in Estonia, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as they go back, Lord, as well, Lord, I just pray, Lord, I just see healings, miracles, Lord, of people being set free, Lord, from the darkness that they find themselves into, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, for many lives to be touched, Lord, by them, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they will raise up a new generation in Estonia, Lord, of new leaders, Lord, where they will go all over the world, Lord, and also, Lord, them carrying that presence, Lord, wherever they go, Lord. Lord, may they be continuing to be, Lord, completely humbled, Lord, and surrendered to you, Lord. And may they continue having amazing faith, Lord, in you, Lord. Lord, just use their faith, Lord, to do great and mighty things, Lord. Use the people around them, Lord, that are praying for them, the people that support them, Lord, the people that are there in Estonia, Lord, supporting them, Lord. I pray that you use them as well, Lord Jesus. Lord, help them, Lord. Stay with them, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
I've asked Pastor Dave also now to come and just share how we as individuals can support the ministry of Alan and Alice. Thank you, Pastor Lloyd.
It's Papa here. I love the idea of being Papa. That's great. Papa, yes. What can I say?
Can I just say, Alan and Alice, that I believe the word that you just brought is really a now word.
Yeah.
It's got such a powerful weight to it, and I want to say, church, do just take on board what you've heard, because it's key to just where God's taking you next. And you know that Maura and I, we stood back as senior leaders. Our heart was that this group, the hub, it would explode with blessing to change the atmosphere, not just of our towns and our cities, but even our country. And I have a firm belief that we haven't seen anything, amen. And I just want you to hang on with an expectation that there's just some amazing things to come. So thank you so much, both of you. While I was sitting there, I want to ask a question. You don't have to answer this out loud. The question is, do you believe in the promises of God? If the answer to that question is yes, there's a promise that I felt God wanted me to share with you. The promise was this: give, and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And I felt God was saying, and is saying to some of you, I have poured resources into your life. Material resources, spiritual resources. I've poured material and spiritual resources into your life, not that you might acquire more and more and more, but that so you might release those resources to the blessing of others. And that as you release those resources, more resources will be poured in. As you release those resources, so there will be a sense in which even greater will be given to you. But if you hold on to the resources, you'll begin to see they will start to shrivel and die. You'll begin to understand that you yourselves begin to enter into a place where you'll be spiritually starved, and where so much of what you have relied upon will begin to evaporate from you. Father is encouraging you to give. It leads me into saying to you that for Alan, for Alice, at the moment they're having to live simply by faith. Let me tell you, for them to be able to exist without any luxury, just simply to be able to exist, they need an income of £2,350 a month. At the moment, with the pledges that have come from the church hub and group, plus one other church, they know that they're going to receive £350 a month. That's a shortfall of £2,000 if you haven't been able to work that out. Let me tell you how that can be broken down. That can mean that if 10 people were able to give £200 a month, that shortfall will be covered. If 20 people were able to give £100 a month, that shortfall would be covered. If 40 people were to be able to give £50 a month, that shortfall would be covered. For some of you, God will perhaps say, I just want you to give £5. For some of you, God will say, the resources you have, you're able to give more than that. And so for me, the challenge to you, which I believe is from heaven, is you've sung that you're prepared to surrender. There was a old hymn that came to mind. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And there was a verse that came out, just two lines. Take my silver and my gold,
not a mite would I withhold. Now I know that more in my conscience you're already sitting there in my mind with a figure. I know that will happen and I'll be totally bewildered. In faith I've printed out 10 direct debits. There are more than 10 of you here. If all of you want a direct debit, don't worry, I'll rush home and print a whole lot more. But this is your opportunity to put in practice your statement of faith. Now, as you know, I was an insurance man. And I don't want to overdo the sales job in that sense. But I want to say to you, I do believe that for some of you, this is a key moment of decision. I'm simply going to leave you with this question. You prayed for their blessing. You prayed for revival to come to Estonia. What are you prepared to sow into that? For that prayer to be answered. Because at the end of the day, God answers prayers, generally speaking, through the people who have prayed. May God help and guide you.
Yeah, thank you so much for what you both shared. Yeah, I have such a heart for revival, and I really believe that revival is coming. So just keep going. And I think even your spiritual terrain with the occult and all of those things like that, and that's why the freedom in Christ is such an important course, really, because God's going to set the captives free, and I really believe that there is just a way of deliverance coming. God is raising up a deliverance army ready to set the captives free. So I believe you're going to be a part of that, which is so exciting. Yes, Father, we thank you for your presence here, Lord God. We thank you for Alice and Alan, Father God, and we just pray your blessing upon all that you're doing there, your provision and your grace, Lord God. And we thank you for the revival that's come. We thank you for the salvation and all the things you're already going to do, Lord Jesus. And we just pray for wisdom for Alan and Alice, Father God, in your great blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I know time's gone, but I just want us to just focus and pray for our nation. We all know what's going on. So let us lift up our country tonight. Let's all of us lift up our voices. Let's lift up our voices. Speak in tongues. Oh Lord Jesus. Let's pray for the wisdom of our families. For the police force. Father, we are praying to you tonight for this nation. And Lord, for the peace of this nation, tonight we pray. We have heard over the weekend all that's been going on in different parts around the country, around the United Kingdom, England, Scotland, and Wales, and Northern Ireland. And God, tonight we pray that you would bring a resolution, that there would be peace on the streets tonight, God. That you would protect homes, you would protect businesses. That, Father God, you would bring about peace. Father God, we pray for wisdom for the Prime Minister, for Cabinet. We pray, Father God, for wisdom for the police chiefs, for police officers out on the street, on the front line. We pray, Father God, for their protection, for the protection of our nation. Lord Jesus, we pray for churches in these communities. Lord, we pray that your church would rise up to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, oozing and shining the love of Jesus into these communities. Father God, we pray. More of you, Lord, and less of man. More of you in our nation, Lord, we pray. Shine, Jesus, shine into these communities, we pray. Lord Jesus, we pray and we ask these things in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's just close with saying and praying the prayer of the grace of one another. Let this be a prayer as we pray these words. We all know the words, huh? May the grace, yeah? So let's pray. Let's look at one another as we're praying it and prophesying it over one another. May the grace